bringing long-dead literary figures to life for contemporary audiences is a challenge, but it's the Emily Dickinson Museum's mission. The 19th century poet's home in Amherst reopens today after a major renovation. As WBUR's Andrea Shea reports, the transformation includes a boon of donated props from an irreverent TV series.
When we meet the young poet in episode one of Apple TV's Dickinson, she's feverishly writing by candlelight in her bedroom. Then Emily's sister interrupts her flow.
You have to go fetch water.
It is 4 o'clock in the morning, Lavinia. I'm writing.
Mother says you have to. I did it yesterday.
Why doesn't Austin do it?
Austin is a boy.
This is such bull.
This show is a wacky, whip-smart mashup of the 19th century and now. While It's Dickinson, played by Haley Steinfeld, looks period perfect, she speaks and acts like a modern-day rebellious teen. Emily Dickinson Museum director Jane Wald says that's not how most people pictured the poet.
Well, what she was called in her own time was the myth of Amherst, that she was this withdrawn, secluded, confined, and in some interpretations, even almost imprisoned poet.
As an adult, Dickinson was reclusive, but Wald says over time, the myths erased a more three-dimensional Emily. The old pale paint colors on the museum's walls did that too. Now, as part of a 2-year makeover, Wald points to the new textured, historically accurate wallpaper. She says enlivening Dickinson's intimate spaces will help visitors connect with the poet more authentically. So will a donation of about 300 set pieces from showrunner Elena Smith's series.
What really cracks me up is that the museum is taking Death's carriage.
The horse-drawn carriage is Smith's play on Dickinson's obsession with death. Throughout the series, the poet spends a lot of time with the Grim Reaper.
I'm in love with death. He takes me out for a carriage ride every night. He's such a gentleman. Sexy as hell.
Some more utilitarian props include furniture, textiles, and lots of fountain pens. They're the production's way of thanking the museum for its help over the show's 3 seasons. Staff answered emails from the writer's room, hosted actors, and shared floor plans with the set designers.
Dickinson's house, because she lived so intensely in it as a poet, the house is a metaphor. The house is a poem. Her room is a line of poetry. Her bed has meaning.
During an early research trip, Smith spent time in Dickinson's bedroom and communed with the Victorian poet's spirit.
She was a lot more irreverent and ironic and wild than people realize.
Smith recalls reflecting on the strange, fascinating poems Dickinson wrote there. Nearly 1,800 were discovered in that room after her death in 1886. The ways this artist has long been misunderstood convinced Smith her show should be a subversive dark comedy. When museum program director Brooke Steinhauser heard that,
I was starting to get the sense of like, okay, this show is going to be unlike anything we've seen yet at the museum.
Hear me, no one sees me, no one, I'm off the radar.
Steinhauser loves the series' pop music soundtrack and how the young people use contemporary slang, but her favorite device celebrates the poet's creative process by floating her fiery, handwritten lines across the screen.
You can just sort of see them coming from Dickinson's brain pan and into the ether.
Wild nights, wild nights. Where I with thee, wild nights should be our luxury.
Steinhauser says the raucous coming-of-age series is introducing Dickinson's poetry to a new generation, and it's boosting interest in the museum. With the reopening, Steinhauser expects visitors will have a lot of questions about Smith's edgy interpretation. That's nothing new to the showrunner.
There is no fixed, determinate picture of Emily Dickinson. She left behind gaps and spaces that people are always going to always feel invited to sort of come and dance inside of.
Dickinson wrote, "Tell all the truth, but tell it slant." Museum director Jane Wald sees this as a license for the show and the museum to channel the poet's life so it speaks to audiences today.
You know, we've talked with Elena Smith about how we share the same goal. We have different tools by which to arrive at that goal, but we feel like we're very much partners in Emily Dickinson.
This was a poet.
It is that. Distills amazing sense from ordinary meanings.
The museum's support has been huge for Smith. She's sad her show ended last year, but is thrilled her passion project's beautiful props will help the poet's historic home feel alive, as Dickinson was in her own tumultuous time.
It was the 1850s, and it was a scary, complicated, erotic, thriving, throbbing world. She was really there.
And Smith hopes Dickinson fans will nerd out at the museum, just like she did, for generations to come. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Andrea Shea.